But the question is raised, who was the adulterer? Was it Krishna stealing the wives of these men? Or was it these men stealing these young ladies who are actually Krishna's potency? And or even parts of Krishna. So the conclusion is that the so-called husbands, they are the adulterers. Anyway, in order to make things more fun, more exciting, Krishna makes this arrangement. Or actually, it's really Yogamaya. Understanding Krishna's desire, Yogamaya makes these arrangements to increase Krishna's enjoyment. So let's go on to text 38, and we can recite this responsively. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is a very famous verse. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, who is Shamsunda, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So, in other words, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the original form of the Supreme Lord. And to realize him is the topmost realization for the most pure and most elevated amongst the pure devotees. It says here that the pure devotees see him in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. What this means exactly is explained in the purport. If we look, say, about halfway down page 75 or something like that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that nowadays also the devotees see him in Vraja, in their hearts, saturated with devotion, although they do not see him with their eyes. The eye of devotion, what is mentioned in the verse, the eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed spiritual self of the jiva. The form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. When the devotion of the neophyte reaches the stage of bhava bhakti, the pure eye of that devotee is tinged with the salve of love by the grace of Krishna, which enables him to see Krishna face to face. So there you have what it's really talking about. When the devotee comes to the level of bhava, having been through the different stages of sadhana, practice, and coming to the level of bhava, which is the beginning of the perfect stage of love of God, then that bhava is the ointment, that emotional loving sentiment, ecstatic sentiment of bhava, is that ointment which cleanses the inner eye, the eye of the soul. So with that spiritual eye, with one's spiritual eyes, one can see Krishna everywhere. So that is what this verse is meaning. Let us go on to the next section, which is verse 39 to 42. I think 39 to 42. And there's now something of a change of subject. It's still the Govindam prayers, but now from 39 to 42, the subject is how Krishna is the basis of all existence, the basis of the avatars, the basis of the Brahma Jyoti, the basis of the material nature, and the basis of Goloka Vrindavan. So that is going to be discussed from verse 39 to verse 42. So I'll just read through these verses one by one. 39. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Nrisimha, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. So, this is talking about the avatars. Krishna is the basis of the avatars. There are six types of avatars. Can anyone tell me the name of one type of avatar? Yeah. There are the Purusha avatars. Ladies, can you tell us another type? Shaktivesh, it's written on the board. And they're the Manvantara avatars. There are the Guna avatars. And ladies? There are the Yuga avatars. And sixth, Leela avatars. Got it. Those are the six types. And just try and remember those, because we're going to ask you a question about that in the test. Yeah. Six types of avatars: Purusha, Guna, Leela, Manvantara, Yuga, and Shaktivesh. Six types of avatars. We could just say a little bit about these different types. There are three Guna avatars. I think you'd be aware of that: Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma. They're the three Guna avatars. Then there are many Leela avatars. Leela avatars means they just come, they perform their pastimes. Krishna is even counted as being a Leela avatar. Of course, he is the avatari also. He's the source of them all. But he comes and he just performs pastimes. Then the Manvantara avatars. They are avatars who appear during the lifetime of each Manu. We are now in the lifetime of Vaivasvata Manu. Anyone know who is the Manvantara avatar in the lifetime of this Vaivasvata Manu? I didn't know till I looked up today either. I mean, I couldn't remember. Yes? Sorry? It's Lord Vamana, who we're reading about in the Bhagavatam at present. The very same Lord Vamana is, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, I think it's chapter 1, the Manvantara avatar in the lifetime of this Manu. There are four Yuga avatars. In such Yuga, there's the white avatar, who is actually Lord Kapila. Then in Treta Yuga, there is the red avatar, and we don't know who that is. There's no specific mention in Prabhupada's books. I mean, we really searched for it, but we didn't find that. Some thought it was Lord Varaha, but it's not actually Lord Varaha. Then in Dwarapara Yuga, there is the blackish avatar, and this time, of course, Krishna himself appeared in the place of that avatar. Although normally that avatar is known as Shama, and he is an avatar of Vishnu. This is explained in Gaura Ganadesh Dipika by Kavi Karnapur. And then in the Kali Yuga, there is the golden avatar, yellow avatar, and in this Kali Yuga, of course, was Lord Chaitanya. So there are four Yuga avatars. There are seven types of Shaktivesh avatars. And we have written them on the board here. with prominent examples. They may be ordinary living entities, I mean jiva souls at least, like us, who are empowered. They're actually empowered with a complete potency of the Lord. There's seven main types. Yeah. Actually, any great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, for example, is also considered Shakshavesh Avatar, of the type empowered by the Bhakti Shakti. So they're not necessarily only one of each type. There may be many of some types, although in some cases there's only one member of that category. Literary. Vyasadeva is literary. And this list is coming from, I think it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So literary means coming under the Jnana Shakti. Yeah. Yeah. Some of them, of course, are Vishnu Tattva. Yes, it's not that Shakshavesh means only an empowered jiva, although generally, more often than not, the term is used in that context. But there are, as you can see, Sheshanag and Anantashesh, they are expansions of Lord Balaram. Sheshanag is maintaining or is providing facility in Vaikuntha, and Anantashesh is, I think, Bhudarana. Bhudarana means he's carrying the worlds. He's carrying the planets in the material world. I mean, he's carrying the universes, actually. Then Palana, who's that? Preeta, is it? Yeah, Palana means to protect. Dushta Damana means to smash the demons. So Preeta, he has that protecting potency. Parasuram, actually they're both jivas. Parasuram has that Dushta Damana Shakti, smashing the rascals. In this way, these are all persons who are empowered with a specific Shakti of the Lord. And we may well ask you a question about this in the test, so you could just note them down. Purusha avatars, I'm sure you know who they are. And that's it. Six types of avatars. Then verse 40. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. Being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe. Well, I would have put a full stop after the word Upanishads and said, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universes, it appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. So Krishna is the basis of that. He's the root of all the avatars. He's the basis of the Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti is described in different, what the Brahma Jyoti is coming from is described in different ways in different places. Here, right at the bottom of page 77, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that it is the external effulgence emanating from the boundary wall of the transcendental realm of Vaikuntha. In the verse itself, Lord Brahma says that the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of Krishna. Elsewhere, we hear that the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Vaikuntha planets. We also hear that the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the jewels decorating the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Anyway, it is definitely the effulgence coming from everything in Vaikuntha and Goloka is effulgent. So the Brahmajyoti is basically the effulgence of everything there, and particularly Krishna, who is the basis of everything there. Brahman, there's this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:11, Vedanti tat tat vavadas, tatvam yajjnanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjite. It says that learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance. It's non-dual, it's not two, it's one. Call this one thing, Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. So there are three terms for the same thing. And there are three terms for the same thing being perceived in three ways by three different types of people who have three different ways of seeing things. The Brahmajyoti, Jiva Goswami discusses this in Bhagavat Sandarbha. Brahmajyoti means Krishna, but he is not manifesting his form or personality or qualities. In the Ishapanishad, if you're familiar with Ishapanishad, towards the end, the speaker, who is the personified Vedas, says, please remove your effulgence so I can see you. So in that context, we can understand that Krishna's body is so effulgent. Krishna is glowing. But the devotees, because they have this eye of devotion, they can see through the glow and see Krishna behind the glow. But if you don't have those eyes of devotion, if you're some sort of Brahmavadi, then you won't be able to see through the effulgence. You'll just see the effulgence. Just like sometimes we note how devotees sometimes glow, right? I don't know if any of you are glowing particularly much today. Often devotees, when they've just shaved their heads, I noticed Dina Bandhu Prabhu, I think, this morning, he was sort of glowing. And, you know, when you see a dead body, you know, it's quite sort of interesting in a certain way. If someone who you know dies, and then you see the body, like, you know, a few days ago you saw them, they were alive, and then you see them, they just died. And you may look and you may wonder, now, is this the same person? They look so different. And there's no effulgence at all. So in one sense, depending on how pure a person is, then they may be more or less effulgent. And this is a problem sometimes with Sankirtan devotees, because Sankirtan is very purifying. And, you know, we've seen it happen, actually. Devotees going out with wig on, kami clothes, and the whole thing, and distributing books, and someone comes up and says, oh, you're Hare Krishna. And the devotee says, no, not me, no. I'm not Hare Krishna. And the person says, no, you definitely are, because you're glowing. Yeah, it can be like that, a hazard on Sankirtan. Yeah, there are many stories like that. Anyway, Krishna is glowing, that's for sure. And that Brahmajyoti is Krishna, it is not something else. But when Krishna is manifesting that form, he is not manifesting his form. When he's manifesting himself in that way, he is not manifesting his form or his personality or his qualities. But those who have the eye of devotion, the eyes of devotion, they will see Krishna. Just like when Krishna entered the arena in the wrestling arena of Kamsa in Mathura, different people saw him in different ways. Those who were impersonalists, well, they saw him and Balaram. They saw these two lights floating across the arena. like a couple of powerful light bulbs moving somehow across the arena. Yeah. But the devotees saw Krishna and Balaram. But then again, they saw Krishna and Balaram in terms of their personal relationships. Some who were parental, they saw these innocent little boys who are now going to have to fight with these huge wrestlers, and they thought, oh, this is terrible. Others, the young ladies, they saw these handsome young men. It was very, very amazing. So, and of course the wrestlers saw them as death personified. Yeah, so it depends on your consciousness. And if you have a certain type of consciousness, then you may see Krishna, but you'll see the Brahmajyoti. You'll see the effulgence. Whereas a devotee will see Krishna. Krishna is the basis of the impersonal Brahman. And let us go on to verse 41. Now he's going to talk about how Krishna is sustaining the material world. Or everything, really, but particularly the material world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So what is this absolute substantive principle, which is the support of all existence? Well, that is mentioned in the verse. Vishuddha sattva. Sattvavalambi parasattvam vishuddha sattvam. You'll see that line is translated as the sattva avalambi is the support of all existence, parasattvam is the ultimate entity, and vishuddha sattvam is the absolute substantive principle. So, this vishuddha sattva is a very intriguing thing, actually. The Sandini potency, the Samvit potency, and the Hladini potency together are called Vishuddha Sattva. Sorry? The three, you know, Sat-Chit-Ananda, right? They are the forms, the external, like, manifestations of three energies. The Sandini potency is the potency of existence, that which sustains the existence of everything eternally in the kingdom of God. So the manifestation of that is Sat. The Sandini potency is the potency, the energy of consciousness, the external, the outward manifestation of which is Chit, knowledge or consciousness. And the Hladini potency, the pleasure potency, is the potency which manifests as Ananda, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. The three of them together are called Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. When Vishuddha Sattva is manifest with a predominance of the Sandini part, then it can be understood as being that thing which sustains the entire kingdom of God, all the planetary systems, the bodies of all the devotees. Yeah. Sandini, the potency of spiritual existence, is what they are consisting of. So when Vishuddha Sattva is manifest with a predominance of sundani, then it can be understood as that thing which sustains all the manifestations in the kingdom of God. When Vishuddha Sattva is predominated by Samvit, the potency of consciousness, then it manifests as transcendental knowledge or transcendental consciousness. Because transcendental knowledge is like the root of transcendental consciousness. And when the Vishuddha Sattva potency is manifest with a predominant, or when Vishuddha Sattva is manifest with a predominance of the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, it is called love of God. They're all manifestations of Vishuddha Sattva. Then, and of course, the perverted reflections are the three modes of material nature. Sat, the perverted reflection of the Sandini potency, the spiritual potency of existence in the material world, is the mode of goodness. The perverted reflection of the Samvit potency, the potency of knowledge or consciousness in the spiritual world, the perverted reflection in the material world is Tamagun. And the perverted reflection of the Hladini Shakti, the ecstatic potency, is Rajagun, passion to enjoy. And verse 42. Now he's going to talk a little bit more about realization of Krishna. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. Being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. So he's worshipping Krishna, whose glory is manifest in the material world through his pastimes, which are remembered by his pure devotees. And how do his pure devotees remember his pastimes? This is explained in the purport. Those who constantly recollect in accordance with spiritual instructions, in other words, they don't speculate. So in accordance with spiritual instructions, they constantly remember the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, particularly in the conjugal rasa. Yes, those people within the material world, those people can achieve love of God and realize Krishna within this world like this. Name, form, qualities, pastimes, in that order. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very nice explanation. He says the name is the root of it all and the basis, the foundation of it all. From the name comes realization of the form. In other words, you chant the name, and in a while you realize that the form is embodied within the name. It's not that you chant the name here and then the form will manifest separately. The form manifests within the name. Then within the form, and means the person, including the personality, not just the external appearance, but within the person of Krishna is manifest the qualities. And the qualities manifest themselves, they're demonstrated and seen in the pastimes. It's not that Krishna just stands there, you know, immobile, and you see many qualities. No, he does many things. And when he does many things, his pastimes, then you see the qualities. Then you see the qualities. But it's all based on the name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the name is like the ocean.